Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, February 20th, 2023. Today is President's Day. In a couple of days, it will be George Washington's birthday, which is kind of how President's Day all came about. I put a little bit of that history out there for people to know, and then take some time to think about what America is all about, the founding fathers, the presidents. Which presidents do you want to celebrate today, and which ones do we probably not want to celebrate? And with that all being said, today it's I typically do the pledge or the American creed, but today I'm going to read something from George Washington. There's many, many quotes out there for George Washington. I won't read them all on today's show, but I'm going to make reference to a couple of them that are extremely relevant to today's discussion. And then we're going to have Claire Lopez is going to be on. She was going to be on last week, and there was a little bit of a mix-up, mostly on my part there. So we have her coming on here in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about communism and how it's all relative to the general discussion we have today. As you can see, the show is called The Death of the American Dream, No More Single-Family Homes. This is all part of the plan, and we will get into that in detail here. But for right now, let me go ahead and read something Washington said that I just think is extremely relevant to what's happening today. The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and the conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemies leave us only the choice of brave resistance on the most abject submission. We have, therefore, to resolve to conquer or die. And, excuse me, I just can't tell you how much I think that is so relative to today. If anybody can tell me how that is not relative, I mean, the enemy looks different. It's not the British in the sense. The enemies are from within, as Lincoln warned us. And this is where we are today. They're taking our property away. They are buying off farmers, farmland, to put solar panels and destroy our food source for nothing, because solar just doesn't give you enough. And from what Karen Schoen told me in the past, it's hard to digest, too. So, I mean, the insanity of it all. But this is where we are today. You tweak how the enemy is approaching us. It's not, you know, it's not the British in the same sense, but we have enemies all around us, and they're destroying us. And I really do see the relevance, whatever you want to call it, the analysis to what's happening today. To me, it's just all the same. And then there was one other one here. Excuse me. Let's see. The time is near. Okay, the side is free. There is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. I mean, you go out there, Washington was a very religious person, a person of very much faith. And that's why he had the Christmas miracle. When you go through and you read the different things that Washington said over time, it's just very relevant to where we are today. He truly was the father of this country. He understood what freedom meant, understood what liberty meant. And it's amazing to me where we're at today and how relevant it is to everything that he was saying. And I encourage people all the time to go out there and read the his farewell address, because he goes in, he tells us exactly what was going to happen. Here's where we are, and if you allow the factions to divide us, factions being associations, factions, political parties, divide and conquer, united we stand, divided we fall. It's all very relevant. And today's being President's Day, and the fact that we're losing the right to even own our own home. The states are banning single-family zoning and the attempt to put us all into their barracks called apartments. It's just sad. It's just very sad, and that's where we are today. So we're going to take a deep dive. Now, I have attempted to open the chat room, but like last week, that chat room just isn't opening correctly. I'm going to check with Blog Talk Radio and find out what's going on with their system, because the chat room was not open just a minute ago. I'll keep an eye on it, but for some reason, it just is spinning and spinning instead of opening, so I apologize for that. And with that being said, I want to get Claire Lopez involved here. Again, she was going to be on the show last week, and it was a little bit of a mix-up. But Claire has an extensive background in the things that are going on today and what she's doing to help alert Americans about the different problems we have, the national security threats, international, and from the various Islamic movements, CARE, some of you have heard of that, Brotherhood, BLM, I mean, Antifa. I mean, there's Marxist collaborators. She's got so much knowledge on this, and she's also worked with the ICE director, Tom Homan. Many of us know who he is, and Tom Trenton. So very extensive background. And since the nook's up last week, I'm going to have her just, you know, we can start by talking about what communist China is doing to us, how our government has sold out to them. I'm just going to kind of open the door and have her tell us some things she thinks are very critical and, you know, anything she would like to dive into on how they're taking away our rights to even own a home. The American dream is being taken away from us, and it's being taken away by the fact that our government and our press, freedom of the press, has been totally taken over by China. I mean, China's not the only one, but it's a big player. I mean, we have balloons flying around and all this other stuff. I mean, you know, and I just ask people to think about it. Just think about what's happening. Think about history. We know they didn't teach you history in school, so here we're going to try to give people some history as well. With that being said, let me open the line here and have Claire do any other additional introductions she would like. Claire, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Sally. Very good to be with you on the show this evening and with your listening audience. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Karen is out there as well, and we're going to get her to chime in from time to time. But I want you to please dive into some of the things that we really need to know, what people are frequently misinformed, and what we should be doing to try to save our country.
Well, that's a pretty big topic. But what I might do is begin where this all began, the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels back in 1848. And I'll just read to you part of it. It's actually a quite slim monograph that you can get online quite inexpensively. It's not a thick book by any means. It's a quick read, but important to know what's in it. So the core, the central tenet of Marxism, of communism, is government control. And it is also about the abolition of private property. Now, in the Communist Manifesto, there's a short paragraph here that reads, "Of course, in the beginning," says Marx and Engels, "this cannot be effected," meaning the revolution, "cannot be effected except by means of despotic inroads on the rights of property." And then, right following that paragraph, comes a list of 10 objectives, 10 measures that would be implemented in a communist Marxist takeover of a country. The number one item on this list, and I won't go through all 10 of them, but the number one item on this list reads, abolition of property. That's number one. Number two is important as well, a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Let's skip down to number five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Six, centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. I'll skip the rest of them. It would take a long time to go through all of those. But I think you get the drift. I think you get the idea. And it's pretty chilling. But that is the direction that we're headed, obviously. Now, as by way of background, setting the stage here, let me point you in the direction of something else. In 1958, a former FBI agent by the name of W. Cleon Skousen wrote a book, or published the book that year anyway, called The Naked Communist. And it's a pretty hefty book, but the chapter to focus on is chapter 13. And the name of that chapter is The 45 Goals of Communism Today, meaning 1958, when the book was published. And again, I won't read you all 45 of those, but I think a few are very important for us to understand and to realize. Let me start with number 15. Capture one or both of the political parties in the U.S. Let's go to number 17. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Let me go to number 25. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, as they called them in those days, movies, right? Radio and TV. There are a bunch more. Discredit the American Constitution is one. Discredit the American Founding Fathers is another. The reason that these goals are important for us to understand, and by the way, they were read into the congressional record on the floor of Congress, of the House of Representatives in 1963. But the reason they're important to understand is that W. Cleon Skousen, again, the author, the former FBI agent, he didn't just compile this list all by himself. He either attended, and I'm not sure if he personally attended or maybe just spoke to people who had attended, some of the congressional hearings in committees in the House and the Senate in the early 50s. And you'll remember that there was the House on Un-American Activities Committee on the House side, and then, of course, Senator Joseph McCarthy's committee on the Senate side. And appearing before those committees were communists and former communists, among them people like Bella Dodd, for example, who had renounced communism after having gotten recruited and caught up in it. And so W. Cleon Skousen thought it important enough that he capture some of that testimony, and that's where he got the list of these 45 goals, from the testimony of those communists and former communists before congressional committees. So that's important to understand as the foundation, as the basis for what we're looking at to this day. Now, you'll say, well, that was a long time ago. I mean, the communist revolution in Russia took place in 1917. That's more than 100 years ago. And these committee hearings in Congress were in the early 50s, 52, 53, around in there. The book written in 1958, we're looking at more than 70 years since even those hearings and the book. But it matters because it's happening. They're patient, you see. There was a German communist by the name of Rudi Dutschke, and he's the one who actually coined the phrase, the long march through the institutions. Excuse me. I know that Antonio Gramsci, an Italian communist, gets most often the credit for that term, and he may have popularized it as well, but it was in fact Rudi Dutschke, the German communist, who actually coined the phrase, long march through the institutions. That's what's been happening over all these decades, and that is in academia, in government at every level, in industry, Wall Street, companies and firms, in the media, obviously, entertainment, Hollywood, and so forth. the influences of communism have been marching forward. And I think maybe for a lot of people, a lot of the time, I mean, we're busy. We've got families, we've got kids, we've got jobs, all that. It's a lot to pay attention to. And especially when it's behind the scenes, as it has been. But it's been happening. And that's why it may seem to some of us that all of a sudden it's bursting on the public scene with critical race theory being taught in the schools and things like, what is it called, diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, regulations or whatever they are. All of this stuff, it seems like, where did that come from? It's like all of a sudden it burst upon us. But what I'm telling you is this goes back a long way, and it's been happening behind the scenes for a very long time. Now, coming up to the present time, you know, I mentioned the Russian Revolution, the Communist Revolution in Russia in 1917, and for a very long time, especially during the reign of the Soviet Union, the Soviet Union, Russia, was the main, the one that was promoting and expanding communism throughout the world, primarily. They used something called the Comintern, Communist International. And by the way, that is where we get Antifa from, just to connect things from the past to the present. After the revolution in Russia, they thought, the communists thought, that Germany, kind of next door to Russia, would be the next most likely target for a communist revolution. And they thought that they could export the revolution through the Comintern, Communist International, to Germany. And they already had cells inside of Germany, and they thought that was going to be the likely, most likely next target. Well, remember what was happening in the 1920s and 30s in Germany. It was the rise of the Nazis, of Hitler. And the brown shirt Nazis fought pitched battles in the streets of Germany, other European cities too, against the black shirt communists. And so when you hear those terms about the brown shirt and the black shirt, that's who they were. The brown shirts were the Nazis because that was their uniform, the color of their uniform. And the black shirts were the communists because that's what they wore. Well, to this day, who dresses all in black, head to toe, helmets and shirts and pants and backpacks and everything else? It's Antifa, isn't it? Well, that's yep. Because what happened is that the communists tried to make a move for a revolution, a communist revolution in Germany, but they got beaten. They got beaten by the Nazis in those street battles. I mean, they fought. I mean, knives and chains and I don't know what else, clubs in the streets, and the communists lost. And Antifa, which had already gained a foothold in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany, to be exact, it's an acronym. It's a shortened version of the term. Antifa means, it goes back to the German, Antifascistische Aktion, and that means anti-fascist action. That's why to this day, when you hear the accusations flung about, oh, you're fascist, oh, that's fascist, that's Nazi, you know that you're listening to communists speaking. It's not fascism, it's communism. Well, they got kicked out of Germany, long story short. And Antifa and the other communists, they came to the United States. And they got their foothold here in the United States in academia. At the university level, first at Columbia University in the state of New York. And it was called the Frankfurt School that was welcomed in there. And from there it spread throughout academia at the university level first, and then moving on down the academic levels to high school and even below, the lower grades. So that's where we are today. But the big difference today is that I would say the international leadership of communism, of Marxism, is no longer Russia. Russia is destroying itself in Ukraine diplomatically, economically, militarily. They're destroying themselves. Demographically, they're already in a death spiral. for lack of births. The leadership of the international communist Marxist movement today is China. It's the Communist Party of China, the CCP. And that is our greatest threat today. It's not Russia. Yes, we have to stand up against, the brutal aggression and invasion of Vladimir Putin into Ukraine. And we're seeing that happen. The West and NATO have united amazingly, actually, in a way we didn't expect, and I'm sure that Vladimir Putin didn't expect either, united in resolve to stand against that invasion and the war crimes being committed there, horrific. But the leadership of communism in the world today is China. Let me just stop there for now, and having laid that sort of background, that groundwork for you, maybe ask some of your thoughts, your questions, and we can talk more about China if you would like, especially what it is doing today, its ways of infiltrating, co-opting our societal institutions. Again, the same institutions that communists forever, Russians, Soviets, Chinese, have taken aim at, again, academia, entertainment, Hollywood, the media, especially social media now, government, and, of course, industry, Wall Street. And, of course, we can add to that list now, I think, public health. That's how the Chinese are doing it. And they're infiltrating in a more subtle way than the outright invasion, the brute force favored by Russia and the Soviet Union in times past and currently in Ukraine. The Chinese are more subtle and sophisticated about it. They get inside of our institutions by sophisticated means. Peter Schweitzer, in his book Red Handed, calls it elite capture. It's a very good term. Yeah. It's from the Chinese. It's from the Mandarin. And Peter translated it to elite capture, meaning the Chinese set out to co-opt, buy, recruit the leadership figures of our institutions. So you see, captains of industry, Wall Street, captured by the lure right. of 1.4 billion people market in China. Public health officials captured by the Chinese. You see, any other example you want, certainly media. But, okay, let me stop there. Perhaps you'd like to open it up for the listeners to ask anything they'd like to.
Okay, and everybody, if you're posting anything in the chat room on the other side, sorry, I cannot see it. It's still not working, so I don't know what, if you logged on listening through the Internet, I'm not sure exactly if you see the chat room. Excuse me. And others, call in 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to ask any questions. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and I'll get Karen in here as well. Here's a couple of things that I think are relevant to this discussion. First off, China, they were learning. They paid attention to history. They learned, and they modified their approach based on what's happened with history. Now, we have this great reset going on where the globalists want to take over everything. They want their one world government, new world order routine. While China is is playing some part in all of that, they're not going to be part of any one world order. They're going to do their own thing. They want to be the one world order, if anything. They don't want the United Nations, based on everything I've understood of them. And then the other is how they have taken over our country. Obviously, I mean, where somewhere along the way, whether was there truly pure corruption, or was there some Americans that were truly naive that thought, well, we're going to make China a democracy and we're going to get them engaged and they're going to see how wonderful this is, where they have sold out everything. And, obviously the medical professions over there, anything to do with healthcare and that stuff, and the total corruption of our government, and then buying out Smithfield Foods and buying all this real estate, how they have done this quietly acquiring countryside, and then, of course, pushing fentanyl over the border. I mean, their attack has it's like you said, they learned. They're not going to come out and make the same mistakes that Russia did and those kind of things. But I think people need to realize how much they're already, how far they are on this country right now, and how we've opened the door to let them in. And I guess, was it back in the 20s when somehow we said, well, you know, you're American, you have the right to be a communist in America, and how this all kind of played into it too and that type of thing. So I'll get thoughts on that, and then I'll get Karen in there and anybody else who happens to pop in and push the button. Are you still there, Claire?
Yeah, I was just waiting for a question.
Okay. Well, no, I'm sorry. I was putting that out there. Do you really think China is going to be part of the great what their role is in the Great Reset? China is not going to be part of this globalist group that they're trying to do. They're going to be on the other side of it. I mean, as I see it, I don't see them being part of the World Economic Forum in the same sense. They're not part of that piece of it. They want to be it. They don't want the United Nations to be the central government.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the World Economic Forum and all that Great Reset business and sipping Chablis at the ski chalets in Davos, that's a distraction. What is really going on are the true globalists, and these are the would-be emperors, empire builders, like a Putin, like a Xi, like Islam. I mean, that's another form of globalism. These are the globalists. These are the ones who want to erase borders, rampage across borders at will, slaughtering, conquering, and dominating as they go. These are the threats. These are the real globalists. Harkening back to a time before Westphalia, you know, the Treaty of Westphalia, 1648, at the end of the horrific 30 Years' War in Europe, when the doctrine of national sovereignty with ideally, inviolable borders was first formulated. They want to hearken back to a period of time before that, maybe during the 30 Years' War, when warlords and armies rampaged across the landscape, irregardless of borders, conquering as they went, slaughtering as they went, raping and pillaging as they went. This is Russia. This is China. I mean, World Economic Forum, yes, they have some influence with international companies and that sort of thing, but that's not the real threat. The real threat that we're looking at right now are actual would-be emperors and warlords, and that means primarily Russia, China, and Islam.
Yeah, and I don't, and I mean, I, at some point here, maybe we can get into how much China already truly owns of homeland. I don't see China as wanting to destroy this land, whatever the craziness of what happened in Ohio is another story, but them wanting to destroy this homeland because they want this land. This land is rich, and this is what they want it. They want it in good shape. So they'll do other tricks like the fentanyl and everything else and whatever their role was in COVID, but we know our government was Fauci and company were all part of that as well. So it's hard to say who you really want to put the blame on it when it comes to COVID, that type of thing. But they how much they truly already own of this government. How do we find out how many people have been paid off for them? How the media, how they control the media, how much truly China has taken over this country right now. And so anything on that, and then I'll go to Karen. And again, anybody calling in that wants to ask a question, make sure you push the button one so that I know you want to speak on the air.
Well, let's go to the media just as an example of what you're asking there, Sally. And the national... what are they called? Raheel Kassam's group, National Pulse, that's it, the National Pulse, with some very good reporters there. Natalie Winters is one of them. And back some time, like the late 2020, I think it was into 2021, National Pulse did a series of articles exposing how many of our top, most well-known media and their figures of leadership have been co-opted by China. And I mean, they wrote exposés at the National Pulse, and that would include your legacy print media like the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Bloomberg, Washington, all of these. It would be the television, cable TV channels, or just TV channels, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, on and on. And obviously your online social apps, social media apps, meaning Facebook and Twitter and TikTok, obviously. Don't ever, ever, ever click on a TikTok video unless you want the entire contents of your device scooped up, downloaded immediately to Wuhan, China. So all that online stuff, Instagram's another one. The Chinese, invited the top leadership, be it the editors, the publishers, the top journalists, you know, whomever we're talking about here, to China on all expense paid trips, junkets, and they went and saw the Great Wall of China, and they ate wonderful Chinese food, and they got to see some beautiful entertainment, dance and theater, and it was great. And they came back and never wrote another critical word about China ever again. That's how it works. That's what they're doing. That's what they've done to the media. Want to go to sports? What? NBA? Others? They want an audience for their games inside of China, from which they get humongous revenue. They're not going to give that up. So they'll kowtow. They'll do whatever they want, whatever the CCP wants them to do, which means no criticism of slave labor that makes their tennis shoes, that makes their jerseys, not a peep about the slave labor that goes into making those in China, that sort of thing. All right. Go ahead if anyone has a question.
Karen, are you out there ready to go?
Yes, I am out here. And Claire, fantastic. Thank you. I refer to the 45 goals constantly. And one of the things I believe the Americans' problem is our refusal to name the enemy. And it only is recently that we are even saying the word communism when, as Claire so easily put it, everything is communism. And one of the things that you learn when you study this is that nothing ever changes, except there are two things that change, and that is the title of the operation and the delivery system, because it evolves. These people are highly sophisticated in mind games, and if you knew anything about China and its past, this is nothing new. They always did that, especially when Mao was in office. I don't think people realize that, like in America, these people are globalists. The new name for communists, I believe, is globalists. How do I know that? Because these people want everything we have, which is exactly the same thing that the communists want. So therefore, to me, they are one and the same. The problem with what has happened so far is that it has happened so far, and we have allowed it to happen for such a long time that if we think we're going to turn this around tomorrow, it's not going to happen. This was about 150 years in the making, and it's not going to go away in 5 minutes, especially when you have the elite capture and the total buy-off of almost all of our bankers, all of Wall Street. I mean, just take a small example. Ukraine, $140 million is going to Ukraine, and nothing is going to East Palestine, where they exploded that train and destroyed the people's lives. And the company came by,
Norfolk Railway.
No. They offered $1,000. Norfolk Southern, right, yes. They offered $1,000 to people. That is criminal. And then they're having the people sign a paper. Oh, don't worry, it is only that you accepted the money. BS. Because then they will say, well, the people that accepted the money don't have to get any more money. They already accepted it as their settlement. They are liars. We have to learn that. We have to understand that. And we have to be able to say, and call them out and, as we believe, boycott. And this is very important. I know that, what is it, DirecTV lost almost 10% of their market share and profits. That is the only thing these people care about. And as Claire was talking and telling us the different things that happened in America, we have to think, how was the delivery system during that time? And then go and look at the school, because this was the delivery system. And those people evolved and then worked their way with China and ate up Hollywood. Nothing goes on in Hollywood that China doesn't approve. And why? Because there was 2 billion people in China, and that's a big market. And wow, look at all the money they can make. And exactly, that is exactly what they are doing. So it is, I cannot understand why in this day and age any person keeps their child in public school knowing full well that they will become a full-blown communist when they come out, if not a transgender that can't decide what gender they are, which of course is insane. But again, go back to the 45 goals. It is part of the plan, which is what should give us the ammunition to say, no, we're not doing it. Show me how that works. Tell me how it's going to happen. Because they never have an answer. They have no plan. They don't care about a plan. Their goal is to take everything we have and kill us along the way. Kill the vulnerable people along the way and take everything we have. Look at what they're bringing into America. And correct me if I'm wrong, Claire. Aren't they bringing in people who are unvaccinated?
Well,
and now
is,
we find
no
that.
Idea. About
it, well, right.
These people who are crossing our southern border. They have no background checks. They have no disease examinations, the medical examinations. They're just brought in. And then the NGOs, the cartels bring them in. And then the NGOs, mm-hmm. the non-governmental organizations like Catholic Charities and Methodist and the Hebrew Aid Society and the Lutheran Social Service, all of those pick up
criminals,
trafficking, and that is trafficking. They're trafficking
yes.
children, women, sex slaves, cartel members, gang members into the rest of the United States. And the State Department pays the NGOs to do this and to send these illegals all over the country. And we don't know what they're carrying, whether malign intent or diseases. We have no idea.
Well, let us say that they are more than likely the unvaccinated who will then fulfill the jobs that, quote, Americans will be too sick or dead to do. And it seems as though we are paying these people to stay home. And this is a big thing. This filters what I loved about what Claire did is you're tying the things together. And you're connecting the dots, and that's what most people can't do anymore because there's nothing behind the bullet points that they're allowed to talk. So by seeing what's happening, here's another thing. If you want to know what is going to happen, go read Agenda 21. They lay it out. That's the ultimate plan that all of these other plans have been built on. There's no such thing as a sustainable development. These are made-up words. Carbon dioxide is killing us. How come nobody's dead from drinking Coca-Cola or champagne? I mean, we have to understand they pick on things and blow them out of proportion that are irrelevant and have no meaning because they change our attention from focusing on the real problem, which is we're trafficking kids and killing them. We're doing all of these atrocious things to each other. And as Abraham Lincoln said, you know, that we will lose because of from what is within, not what is without. And Peter Schweitzer was so right talking about elite capture, because that's what this is. The greed factor of capitalism. See, that I believe the Chinese knew if they took away God and morality, the greed factor becomes evil. Because now you just are seeking greed and power for the purpose of greed and power. If you had morality, you would be seeking profit and greed, but you would turn that into something good. And that's with God on your shoulder. By taking God away, this is exactly where we're headed, into devil land.
And let me ask you both a question on that same note, because that, again, kind of to the topic of tonight, taking away your right to own a home. This is the destruction of a family. This is destruction of the culture, destruction of the core values. They're going out there, and how they're doing it, once again, it's sustainable development. We used to call it smart growth, but those of us who were involved knew it was dumb, stupid growth. And they want to cram everybody together. They want to have total control. You want to take away the travel. I mean, it's all part of it, of how they're taking away our lives. You're being converted, people. And if you're going to, and I guess, you know, as I put out here, first off, as everybody knows, my motto is, I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. And the thing is, we have, as you mentioned earlier, we cannot say socialism. It's not socialism. This is communism. It's a communist takeover going on right now. We have to face that, and we must not comply. So the question is, how do we not comply? How do we stop them from doing this insanity? It was the infrastructure bill that had so much of this nonsense about the sustainable development, high-density growth. How do we, at the local level, we've got to get in there, state level, what is DeSantis doing if we know. But the point is, that is a core element of this. What do we do right now? Because there are two things. They're destroying the farmland, they're destroying our food supply, and taking away our homes. Representative Tom Tiffany is out there from Wisconsin. He's got a new farm bill trying to stop the government buying up all this land under the guise of solar and that kind of stuff. So what should people do right now? So I'll go to Claire, if you can say, what should people be doing right now? And then Karen, I'll go to you too. And I know you both probably have to drop off here in a few minutes, so we'll see if we can wrap this part up. And definitely plan on having you come back on the show and talk some more about this.
Okay, Claire? Sure. Thank you. So I would say that the most important thing for people to realize is that we save this republic at the local level. You don't have to think that all the solutions are going to be inside the Beltway on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Yes, we have some very good representatives up there. And I do say representatives, meaning the House, Jim Jordan, James Comer, and in the Senate, you've got a Ron Johnson, you've got a Tom Cotton, I don't mean to leave others out, a Ted Cruz. Yes, but that's not where the answer lies. Yes. Let them know through phone calls, through emails, through communications, what you expect of them in representation of your home district, yes. But the answer really lies at the local level, and that means with your local representatives, and I really mean local, your library board, your school board. Look what's happening across the country at the school boards. Library board matters. That's where they bring in all these drag queen shows. That's why that matters. City council. Zoning councils, committees, again, though, your local representatives, your local newspapers, your local radio. These are the things that if you have the time, the ability, and you want to do this, to participate in those, to get involved, to go to town halls when your representatives come out for an appearance. The other night, just at the end of last week, I live in Northern Virginia. And I went to a local cafe, and I got to hear our new Attorney General of the state of Virginia, Jason Miatis, who came and spoke to our group. Absolutely local-level stuff. And he's talking about what's going on in our schools here in Virginia and much more. Local level. That's the message I'm trying to get across here. Pay attention. Get involved at the local level.
Amen. Karen, your thoughts.
I believe absolutely what Claire says, but we also have to take action, and the action can be very simple. You can change a habit. Stop drinking Coca-Cola or carbonated drinks. Make an impression. Drop DirecTV. Look at what happened with Bed Bath & Broke. We have that power, and we should never forget that there's more of us than them. And that's very important, because likewise, in the CCP, there is more of the people than there are of the CCP. We have the power in America to vote and work with our dollars, which we must. The other thing I believe 100%, get your kids, grandkids, neighbors' kids out of public school. Stop feeding them that trash. The best way to stop a cycle from continuing is to stop. And we're not doing that. We're reporting on how parents are being gone after by the FBI, and this one has the drag queen story hour. Why are your kids still in school? Oh, they went to school in masks, and how many of them got sick? Why are they still in school? So my organization, the Florida Citizens Alliance, we're putting together a program to help people get their kids out of public school, form a co-op. How many people realize that most churches and synagogues are empty most of the time? There's nobody in those rooms, so they have lots of empty space. I can bet you that in every congregation there is at least one retired teacher that actually knows how to read and write and do math and remembers phonics. You want your kids to learn. It is a proven fact that the kids will learn faster and better if they're learning the truth and they're learning how to read. And if we don't stop, and there is a wonderful website you can go to. It's Alex Newman's website. It's called Public School Exit. And also you can go to the Florida Citizens Alliance. This is something that we can do. If you are a passionate mentor, a child, work with them after school. Work with them in a mentor. Go and offer as a mentor program and start telling them the truth. We're letting our children grow up thinking that today I can be a man, tomorrow I'll be a cat. Do you actually believe that there are teachers who are bringing cat litter to class for the kids that want to be cats? You've got to be kidding me. And just take a look. Oh, here's my, this is a real good one. Take a picture of Donald Trump's cabinet and then take a picture of Joe Biden's cabinet and appointees. What a difference. I don't think the IQ of Joe Biden's appointees are all together collectively as high as Donald Trump's IQ. Not that that means anything anymore, but it's just the point.
You know, we're
allowing it to happen.
Sally?
We are allowing it to happen, and that's the thing that has to stop. So I remember
we ought to let Claire, some of our listeners chime in. We've been doing all the talking here.
Yes. Well, right now they're not pushing one to talk, and unfortunately, if the chat was working, I might have some questions out there, but I can't see the chat.
Okay.
So. Listeners, go ahead and, you know, make sure you press 1 if you want to talk. I see you out there, but you're not pressing the button. So sometimes there are listeners and sometimes there are, I'm not sure if I see Sarge out there yet, but Sarge usually chimes in. Nathan, if you're out there and you got something you want to chime in on, call in and let us know what you're thinking too. So some days we have a lot of talkers and some days we don't. And with it being Washington's birthday or the President's Day, I should say, some people actually had the day off or whatever. So we'll see. Right now, there's just nobody pushing the button to chime in, which happens.
Oh, Sally, may I add, you just reminded me of a quote from George Washington, and it says, freedom and property rights are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. And property rights are not just land. They're your business. They're your person. And that's what's being taken away. And if we don't start fighting back, we're not, every year we don't fight back, we can add 10 years of how much longer it's going to take to get back. Because there will be less and less people that know what's going on. I have firsthand knowledge of the past 70 years. Most people don't. They don't know what it was like to live through the 50s and 60s and 70s and the rioting that went on, which is exactly what they're doing now. Same thing. Didn't change at all, even if it's the same people. But people don't realize that. So we've got to get our kids out of school, out of public indoctrination clinics. It's pathetic. Over 50% of our kids can't read, write, and do math. And Common Core was designed to hold them back 2 years, and the pandemic was the icing on the cake. And there is no reason why in 4 months a child can't learn to read. And Sally, I want to thank you, and it was great talking to you, Claire, but I have to leave right now, and I will see you again next week.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much, Karen.
One more thing. To continue the conversation, listen to my show on America Out Loud. The name of it is The Prism of America's Education, and it is on every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. And thank you for letting me plug it, Sally.
Thank you so much, Karen, and we will talk again next week. Claire, I think you're going to – please stay as long as you can, but I understand if you have to drop off. Anything else you would want to share? I mean, there's just so much of this. We can talk about, like right now, the end of Title 42 and what that's going to do to the border, the invasion coming over that border. I can't even begin to imagine all the other people that are going to come. And then also let people know how to reach out to you as well. You tell me how long you can stay.
Yeah, I do have another commitment coming up at the top of the hour. I'll drop off in a moment here. Have a look at, you were talking about the border there, Sally. Have a look, if you would, at defendtheborder.org. Defendtheborder.org. That is an organization where I am supporting Tom Trento of the United West and Tom Homan, former acting ICE director under President Trump, in an educational effort over the next 2 years, this year and next, leading up to the 24 presidential election, to draw attention to the crisis at our southern border. You can find at that website lots of articles and writing I contribute there, videos, documentaries, and lots of information about what's actually going on down at our southern border. So have a look there. Take a look at understandingthethreat.com, understandingthethreat.com. That's John Guandolo's organization, with which I also work. We do training courses around the country. And by the way, at your local community level, if you'd be interested in having us come to your community to do a training course with a group of you, take a look at understandingthethreat.com for how you can arrange that. What else? Citizens Commission on National Security, another place where all of my writing and videos and so forth are posted, to which I've belonged for, well, a long time, including at the predecessor site, Citizens Commission on Benghazi. Now we've morphed into Citizens Commission on National Security. But have a look at those, if you would, and just thank you to everybody who's been with us tonight, listening, and hopefully taking all this in.
Oh, I know there's many more people listening and sharing information. I get feedback all the time, but right now, and again, I just wish the chat room was open because I have probably got people posting questions out there and I can't see them. But thank you so much, and we will definitely have you back again because obviously this is only the beginning. We have to understand the history and we have to take action, not comply. And please, people, don't say socialism. We will continue the discussion, but thank you again, Claire, for coming on. And again, please come back and continue.
Thank you, Sam.
And have a good evening.
Thank you much.
Okay, now with that being said, let's go down the list and think about what Karen and Claire were just saying, and then we go down this list. And again, press that one button if you're going to want to chime in. It's so true. We have to accept the fact of what is happening. We have to accept the fact that China has taken major control. But why did it happen? China didn't just come over here and decide to take everything and take
take ownership of everything. They were very methodical in how they did it. They learned from the history. They knew who they could buy off. Now, anybody that's listened to Biden, Joe Biden, President Biden, Senator Biden, Vice President Biden, if you've listened to him over the years, now, this, of course, I'm not a medical professional. I'm just a person who's been listening, and my own personal opinion, based on what I've seen this guy do, he's a pathological liar, he's a sociopath, and he really couldn't care less about this people. He will say and do whatever he thinks as the way the wind is blowing kind of thing. And he's supposed to be a Catholic, yet he's pro-abortion. He claims he's not a racist. Go listen to his racist comments. He said he was he supports Social Security. Go listen to when he's on the Senate floor trying to destroy Social Security. And people have to understand, Social Security did not fail. Social Security was robbed. If they put back all the promissory notes, if we go and put all the money back into Social Security like they never robbed it, and they didn't keep borrowing and putting promissory notes in there, it would be overflowing today. Social Security would be in good shape today. It would serve its purpose. But that's if you're going to get the truth. But you're not going to get a truth from a sociopath or a pathological liar. You're not going to get the truth. He can't tell the truth. Even if he wanted to, he can't tell the truth. He's going to just say whatever. And today, of course, in a demented state, he says even less. He believes whatever somebody just fed him a line and told him to say. And then, of course, we have, as Karen was saying, look at this Vice President. Vice President Harris, look at what she was out there saying about crimes against humanity. She needs to go look in the mirror. You want to talk about crimes against humanity? Go look in the mirror. These people are nuts. So we have to understand who the enemy is. This enemy, while the Chinese Communist Party has been the biggest player of coming in and taking over this country and everything that it means, the hypocrisy of the American culture, the spirit, how we've allowed ourselves to be brainwashed, and so much of it is, as Claire was saying, it starts in the academia. It started in the universities, and it trickled down. And it's part of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals and Cloward Piven thing. You go out there and you take control of the young mind. If you indoctrinate that mind at that young age, you've got them for life. Trying to undo the brainwashing and indoctrination at a later age is so difficult. Of course, we're seeing that with some of the sad cases of transgendering and all this insanity of what they're doing. And I don't care what party you're in. This isn't about parties. It's about being a human being, a decent person. How can there be laws that says a kid cannot get a tattoo without parental approval until they're 18 years old? However, they can have a sex change when they're 6 years old, 7 years old, whatever. There's something sick about that. You're going to let a child alter and totally destroy the body, their body, yet you wouldn't let them get a tattoo. How can anybody say that with a straight face and say that makes sense? Not to mention, it's all part of it, what she was saying, what Claire was going about. It's all out there. It's all out there. There's nothing new happening here. But the dumbing down of the American people has been extremely successful. Remember what Jefferson said. I repeat it, and I'm going to repeat it again today because it seems more than appropriate. If you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. You cannot be ignorant and free. They dumb us down. They dumb down the people. They try to censor information. Getting worse and worse. The more you let them dumb you down and you don't go think on your own, don't do the research, they control you. They own you. And I want to get back to, you know, the topic tonight, what they're doing with housing. And I sent out an email. Unfortunately, there's just not enough room for me to put everything I want on this show page. Excuse me, but you can go out there and look up the state of Oregon and then Minnesota, and there's other states where they're all banning single-family housing. Now, just think about what that means, banning single-family housing and why they're doing this. Do you truly believe it's because they care about the climate? Do you truly believe you're better off living in the city, the polluted city, than living out in the country?
And they act like it's all, and once again, they'll use racism. It's not about racism. They say there's more blacks moving into the suburbs than there are whites. So they say. And there's been many, many programs, and this was George W. Bush, one of his stupid programs, where they went out there and they were, he was bragging that more people had reached the family dream, the American dream of family or of home ownership. But the way they did it, by manipulating the bank, the financial system, everybody got into a home with an ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage. They got into a home with no money down, no credit, nothing, you know, whatever. And in a matter of years, these people all lost their homes because they could not afford to, with the adjustable rates, the rates kept started going up. They couldn't afford the new payments, not to mention they couldn't afford to maintain the homes. So it was a disaster. If we would let the private sector, let the market do what it's supposed to and get rid of the Federal Reserve, the central bank, and Jefferson warned about that central bank, and look what they're doing with the central bank. Digital currency, they want full control of your money. It's all history. There's nothing new here. And then, of course, ESG. And a lot of states are going out there banning. And this goes back to what both Karen and Claire were saying. You have to deal with it locally. We are doing a lot across this country to shut down ESG at the local/state level. And DeSantis has been a very big leader in this one, thank goodness. And other states are doing it too. Take away the money. And you see these commercials for BlackRock lately? Please don't believe that. Go do your own history on what they are. Look at how they're trying to set people up for failure. They want you to fail so they can come in and take over, take the land, take the property, take the home. It's really sick. It's really sick. And the other is that I was just learning a little bit more about, you know, we all heard about the infrastructure bill. Which, of course, has really nothing to do with infrastructure. There's a lot of stuff that's in there, which I'd have to go look it up, but I was hearing some of the reports. You'd have to go dig into it yourself. And unfortunately, again, I couldn't put any links out here. But a big part of this is to go out there and promote changing the zoning, banning single-family homes. Anybody out there listening who wants to chime in, you know, call in 347-857-4364. Press 1 if you want to speak. If you don't press 1, I don't know you want to speak. Try to give me a valid explanation for why you would destroy the American dream and not allow a person to own a family home. Why would you do that? If it's but something evil. Nothing but evil. That's all there is to it. They want full control. And they'll act like it's all because of equity. Instead of lifting people up, they want to bring everybody down. They want to make us all the slaves. This all goes to what Washington was saying. Are we going to be free people or are we going to be slaves? Which one? It's up to us to decide. If you're okay with slavery, then just keep following what they're telling you to do because that's where you're going. That's where you're taking all of us. And for you people that have children and grandchildren out there, do you not care how they're going to live? And do you have them in public schools? Please, if you have them in public schools and you don't know what else to do, get in touch with the group Karen was talking about, Florida Citizens Alliance. Get hold of them. Seek another solution. We have the power. I personally have no doubt in the grand scheme of things of this country, right now, before even with some of this invasion going on, right now, today, the vast majority of Americans believe in freedom. They believe in liberty. They believe in personal responsibility. But if you're going to sit on the sidelines and do nothing, you're not going to have it. You cannot be ignorant and free. You must be engaged. You must participate in this process. Otherwise, China will just come in and buy up your locals just like they buy up everybody else. It's really not rocket science. And you have to, the other part of this, as I put out there, the Communist Marxist Uniparty. There's so few people, few representatives. Do not call them congressmen, congresswomen. Don't call them that. Call them what they are, representatives. Remind them what their job is. Their job is to represent, not to be bribed off by these different organizations, which is where most of them are. Mitch McConnell is one of the most disgusting. I mean, I don't know how every Democrat doesn't absolutely love Mitch McConnell. He's part of the Uniparty. As Claire was saying, you got to go in there and take over the parties. And how do you do that? And it's really, there's just so little of this that is, it's not rocket science of how they have done this. And I've seen this at the local level, and I, because of running for office myself at one point, and what I heard people say. And they say, well, if you know, if you're in a county, a local, whatever, if you're in a red state and you're really a Democrat, well, change your party affiliation. Run as a Republican. Say that repeat the same old talking points of the Republicans. Get elected. You know what to say to get elected. You know what the line is. And if people only get these bits and pieces of what they know of you off of lamestream media, mainstream media, the press and the newspaper stuff, if that's all they do, they don't go directly to these campaign events, they don't meet these people, don't do a little bit of background check on this to see what these people have done in the past, they're very likely to vote for you because, well, you have to vote for a Republican, right? Just because the person's truly a Democrat, a Uniparty, whatever, communist, Marxist communist, that doesn't matter. They're a Republican now, so vote for them. You got to vote for them. So how do you think the Uniparty became? How do you think the Republicans were taken over by the Democrats? Why did we allow communists to be in public office? And people say, well, you can't, it's a free society. Well, wait a minute. You're taking an oath to uphold the Constitution. How can you uphold this Constitution and the Declaration if you're a communist? You can't. You're not qualified. You want to live as a communist in this country? Well, I guess you do have a right to be a communist, but you don't have a right to hold in public office if you don't believe in it, if you're taking a sworn oath. You're in violation of that oath just as you even take it because you don't believe in any of it. And you're going to, if your intent is to destroy the Constitution, you're not eligible to be on the Supreme Court or in any public office. It's not rocket science. But how has, and this is the way the whole process, and this is what's happened. Well, look what Soros has done with all the DAs going out there corrupting the judicial process. And it ultimately comes down to education and core values. The core values will die without if you don't have the education. If the education manipulates and brainwashes you to such a degree, you have no core values. If you destroy the family, you're going to lose those core values. And that's what they've done, destroy the family, destroy the culture. You cannot be an atheist and a Christian at the same time. You can't be a communist and an American at the same time either. You can't. That's all there is to it. In some legal sense, well, again, you're an American and you decided to join the Communist Party, yeah, you would have that right to do that. But it's only to the extent that that's where you're at with it. And you can try to convince other people that it's right, but you can't be in public office when you cannot uphold the Constitution. So just please keep that in mind. Understand the regime that has taken over this country, and it truly is up to us. It is up to we the people, not up to those so-called representatives in Washington, D.C., that so-called president, which most of us know was not legitimately elected, and the things you see across you. If we don't clean up the elections, we have it's not our government. The government's already been taken over. It has. Excuse me. We have to change the process. I understand Mike Lindell has come up with a new solution to the machines, but we'll talk about that on another show. The other thing here is the end of Title 42. I don't know if you've heard about that. There was a big couple of reports about the Supreme Court has now rejected, they're not going to listen to the Title 42 argument or whatever. And when they're saying, well, why are they doing that? Is the Supreme Court just, you know, being lazy, or was there a reason? Well, the Title 42 was all linked to the emergency status, national emergency of COVID. So when they no longer declare COVID an emergency, now they have the means to drop the Title 42. And it was really, I guess it was a difficult decision for them. Well, would we rather have the COVID emergency and we play games with that, or would we rather drop that and now we can
we can increase the flood of the invasion. So we're going to have more and more invasion coming in here. And I don't care what anybody says. It's treason when you go out there and aid your enemy to take over your country. And that is what this federal government and, in many cases, state government, state and locals are doing. This is treason. This is an invasion. And at some point, we have to defend ourselves. And as we know, just in trying to protest, many ended up in jail. Unjustly ended up in jail. And I believe they say that was part of what they did on that on Jan 6 routine, because of the national emergency, gave them more powers. So if we happen to get lucky enough to actually get somewhat of a constitutional Congress and president in 2024, if a miracle happens and we get that, we have got to demand some constitutional amendments. We've got to demand changing some of these crazy laws. The executive order, we're not supposed to have a dictator. And that's what we have today. Executive orders are so out of control. They have surrendered so much, the Congress has surrendered so much of their rights to these quasi-agencies, the governmental agencies that are unelected making laws. It's all bogus. It's all unconstitutional. No, nothing seems to happen. So just keep in mind, the end of Title II means the real invasion is about to begin. We think it's been bad now. It's going to get worse. They're flooding here. And there's not going to be any Americans anymore. The Americans are going to be the foreigners. It's the way it is. So you better take action. You better get involved locally. The other is, as we've talked about already to some extent, losing your right to home ownership. You got to think about what that truly means. And what Washington said was perfect. He knew this back then. It's nothing new. Those who want to control. What is it in the evilness of some people that think that they are the gods, that they know everything? What makes Bill Gates think he knows we should eat crickets instead of beef? It's all sick. But if we let them do it, if we comply and we say, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, let's take the jab. Let's give the jab to these kids. We might as well destroy them. And you think about the destruction of the individual. And I challenge anybody. I mean, think about the children you've already raised, your own situation, and then what's happening to the younger kids as they're in school. How many vaccines do you think you can put into a human body and not screw it up? And, you know, when it came to all this stuff with the vaccine with COVID, I was already a skeptic. Excuse me, a skeptic of it to begin with, because of people that have young children who are perfectly fine at birth and all of a sudden developed autism. That's how I guess I first got into the vaccine thing. And then over years, and I would say this has probably been the past 10 or 15 years, it's been a while that I've been looking at this and like, well, yeah, you're putting all these drugs into the small, defenseless body. You think you're not poisoning it? You are. So why are you doing it? And here they want to do the same thing with this COVID jab. And I remember, I mean, I had a flu shot once, probably 30 years ago, dating myself. I didn't have any side effects. I was okay. But I remember hearing about all these people who were getting sick. And then they all said, well, yeah, you actually get a version of the flu because it helps you build your immunity, and that's how you're protected against it, this kind of thing. And I thought, oh, okay, whatever. I never got another flu shot. And the more I've looked into the vaccine stuff, it's nothing. Take your pick. It's a gravy train, never-ending money for the pharmaceuticals, big pharma. It's also for those who want to depopulate the planet. It's an easy way to do it and change the overall condition of the human individual. It's sick. And the numbers I hear of how many vaccines. So if you've got your own kids, how many vaccines did your kid get over their lifetime? How many did you get? I know I had a couple when I was younger, but I didn't have that many. And then and then about your grandchildren. Don't let them get this. So anyway, it's how they destroy the culture, it's all relevant. The other I want to talk about a little bit is this Ohio derailment. This is one of the craziest. Now, you know, they said that it was something to do with a track. It caught on fire from beneath or something. I'm still trying to understand. It wasn't. What caused the derailment? kind of thing. And when you see everything that they've done as a response to it, what does it really mean? That it's so insane. Butthead from the Department of Transportation, clueless. He's out there worried about whether black people work on construction sites and totally out of this picture. And then I think he also, was it him or somebody else, who went to some conference to talk about climate change. I mean, this is sick. Sick. And then this thing when the burn off or whatever they were doing, control burn, I think they were calling it control burn, of all these chemicals. Where in the world did they come up with this? They could not have been this stupid or ignorant. What was their real intent? How would you ever do that? And why would you do this? This goes, and it's not to do with fossil fuels being bad or whatever else, but these are all things that could be transported via pipelines and other ways that would be much safer, but that isn't the goal. They're trying to destroy us. It's just, it's so sick. So sick. And so was, and there are definitely those who believe that derailment was intentional. I don't know. The derailment itself, the accident, was it truly an accident, or was there something set in place to cause the accident? Was it a booby trap kind of thing? And the actions, the response, how much has that been as an attack on us? And they look, they've destroyed a whole community. Who knows how far-reaching that controlled burn was going. It would have been bad enough to have the derailment as it was, but then they set a fire to it and said this was for your own health. And did you see that smoke going up? There's something else going on. Something else totally going on here. Okay, the other, which I touched on a little bit earlier, the destruction of the farmland and the food supply. You have got to get to that local level to go out there and contact your local county, city commission, your state. Shut down these solar farms. No more solar farms. They don't if putting solar panels on the top of buildings and things like that and whatever else, you know, you can use solar can be an option to help. Especially if you're in Florida like I am. Solar could be a big help in many respects. But you can't go and destroy the farmland and our food supply for the small, small gain of energy that you get. Not to mention, they don't know how to recycle or manage these old solar panels. They don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to dispose of them properly and safely. So you might be trying to save the environment with solar energy while you're destroying the environment with solar panels. Save the environment with solar energy, destroy the environment with solar panels, because that's what you're doing. And you're destroying the food supply at the same time. And I see plenty of solar farms, plants, whatever you want to call them, on here in Florida. And I and Karen and I have talked about this because she's in Florida here too, that we're going to attempt to put a stop to some of this insanity. But at the same time, you need to look at the farm bill at the D.C. level, contact your state, your U.S. representatives and your senators, and tell them to push for that thing to save our food supply. We need food. We need food more than that little bit of solar energy they're going to get. And they're bribing these farmers and taking over their land. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. If you want to if we want to somehow supplement with low interest loans, whatever it is, to the farmers to grow food, I can handle that. I can't handle giving them money to not grow food and to waste their land with solar. It's insane. So please get in touch with he's a U.S. representative out of Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany, and also contact yours. Let Tom Tiffany know you're supporting his efforts. Make sure you contact your representatives. And I have already reached out to him, to his office, to Tom Tiffany, Representative Tiffany's office, and asked to have someone come on the show and talk a little bit more about the bill and realize that Florida has the same problem. We need to stop it here, too. So we have to do this. The other, as all this is happening, you're losing your right to travel. is when you take away, and that's the other part of this aspect, because when you think about home ownership, you move out to the suburbs and you have your home on your own lot and you have your without having being stacked on top of one another in a high-rise apartment or an apartment complex. What else happens goes along with that? Well, see, you need, and this is all part of what they call sustainable development. They also were calling it smart growth for a long time, but the smart growth and sustainable, smart growth is dumb. Smart growth is stupid because it's trying to cram a lot of people into a little space. Your crime will go up. The pollution will be worse. What you will breathe in a city will not be nearly as good as what you breathe in as you go to the outskirts of the city and into the country land, the country area. Rural areas, you will not be as healthy. You are much better off away from the overcrowded pollution. Have you ever seen, you talk about San Francisco and the others where the feces are everywhere and the other mess. You really think that's healthy? And what control do you have over it? Not to mention what the single family home means. It means unity to the family. It's part of that family structure. But they were determined to end it. They didn't want that. They want to take down this country, and they'll do whatever it is. Why they want to do that, I can't explain it. Why do some people think they own they think they are the gods who should tell us what to do? I don't know. I just know this is what they're doing. And I just know it's history. It's repeating history. You go back to the fall of the Roman Empire. It's really not that different. It's up to us to change it. But as I was, I get so annoyed with what's going on here. But when you realize when they're doing this sustainability, smart growth crap that they preach, it takes away your right to travel too because they don't want you to own a car. They're trying to tell you have to own an electric car, which there's no electricity for because they can't produce the electricity fast enough. The solar panel is not going to provide you the electricity you need to charge the car. And plugging it into the wall isn't where the energy comes from. I know our vice president doesn't fully understand that yet. Maybe she's learned by now. I don't know. But she did not understand that. She thought you just plug it into the wall and it charges itself. She didn't know the energy came from some other source. But that they're going to control your travel because that's bad for the environment. Live in this compound or barracks called a apartment and walk to work. Or work from home. You don't need to go anywhere. And then if you do decide to go somewhere, well, you're going to have digital currency. It's going to be tacked on that cell phone you got, and we'll let you know if you can buy something. We'll approve your purchases if we decide to let you go anywhere. It's sick. Healthcare, do we want to talk about healthcare? Same thing. We just talked about it. They're forcing the jab. They're taking away your rights at all levels. And it's just all relative. You can't have a home. You can't make your medical choices. You can't decide what food you're going to have. You can't decide where you want to go. It's all happening. They're destroying the free market. When you destroy the free market, what do you think you're going to get? The woke corporations. What do you think you're going to get? Sick situation. The destruction of the Bill of Rights. The fall of freedom. And you know, they talk... If America does not overcome this takeover, this communist Marxist takeover, if we do not overcome, we do not manage to defend liberty, what happens to the rest of the world? There are many around this world right now who are fighting the same thing. Those farmers, the nerve of them to stop providing fertilizer for the farmers. They're doing everything they can to destroy the food supply. What is it with the depopulation? And I do know, I've had a couple of conversations. You know, we've talked about Bill Gates, the population, the World Economic Forum, COVID, the COVID jab, the COVID poison bioweapon, and where the depopulation is. And the overall scheme of things, especially because of abortions, the population of the U.S., natural growth of the population, hasn't been as significant as what you might be brainwashed into believing. Many families have one or two children. They also made it so difficult to adopt that things that could have maybe done something with controlling population would have helped as well. But the whole point is the U.S. population, natural population. If you're going to count all the illegals and the anchor babies and all that stuff, that's a whole other matter, because that's not natural growth in the population. That's, what do you want to call it, population, that they ordered the growth. They brought in the growth. They increased it. It was not the natural growth of this country. Now, when we get into it, and what I will have to do, and I'll get Karen to do it because I know Karen frequently talks about this, we will we'll have to dive into how much land is on this planet, how many square acres, whatever it is, of land, and then go and say, well, habitable land, some places like the deserts, even though we've learned how to live in a lot of different environments, where you can live, and how much, in order to sustain the world, the population, how many people can live on this planet and you still be able to provide the proper food and quality of life and health care and whatever else, how many people can truly live on the planet and still be sustainable? Because, yes, there is a limit. But I tell you, in my own personal experience, when I was doing a lot of business travel, which for a while there, I really, for like 10 years, I did an awful lot, like 70% travel for business. And it was, I would go over there and I would see just massive land in this country. Massive land. And I'm like, they're saying we're running out of land, but I see an awful lot of it out here. Now, certain areas are definitely not going to be as easy to live in. There's no two ways about that. Mountains and, you know, different areas that plenty of people live in the mountains. So what is the magic number? What is the true population of this land, of this globe, of this planet, I should say? How many people can live here, and what is the true sustainability? And right now, when we talk about population growth, I'd have to go out there and read the numbers, but last I heard, the black community, the population, instead of it growing, it's either falling or staying level. Other, like the Hispanics, and I believe the Asians as well, those populations are growing, but the black community is either not growing or even reducing itself. So why would that be the case? It's quite simple. Abortion. While I don't have the figures in front of me, who were the abortion clinics? Where are they located? Margaret Sanger, what was she doing? She was out there targeting different groups. So, you know, if you happen to be a black individual or a minority of any, but if you support abortions, well, you know, you have the right to believe what you want to believe, but try not to kill off your own race, because that's kind of what's happening with the black race. By what I recall in the numbers, I can double check those numbers. But in the past, that was what was it. And Margaret Sanger was known to be part of the KKK. She worked with the KKK. She believed the blacks should be eliminated. So Planned Parenthood. So I mean, people need to think about this stuff. You cannot be ignorant and free. Cannot be ignorant and free. It just doesn't work that way. And we have allowed this culture to dumb us down to such a degree. It's very sad, and I'm hoping some people are really waking up. I'm hoping some people are getting involved locally. Save your right to own a home. At a constitutional level, see, and here's the way, how they manipulate the system. Because they don't just come out and simply say, sorry, you can't have a home. We're banning single-family homes per se. That isn't the way they do it. It's called all this planning. You better learn what's going on in your local planning and in your state planning. Because what they do is they say, well, we're going to go and say this is for high-density housing. This is for low-density would be single-family and this type of thing. And this is commercial and this is it. They're doing away with single-family zoning.
They're changing the zoning. So while they're not banning the single-family homes, they're just taking away the land where you can build them. Kind of the same thing. And then as some areas maybe someone buys up some of the places and they change the zoning. What may have been single-family at one point may have been a mobile home park. Could be a mobile home park where there's 200, 300 individual mobile homes in there. They go out there and they, little by little, they buy up the park. They don't renew the leases. They let the people move out. They take over that land. And now instead of it being any type of single-family housing, it will now be a apartment complex. That's the way they do it. And because that's the way they're doing it, it's a lot different when you try to challenge it at the constitutional level. If they just put a law out there saying you're not allowed to build a single-family home by itself, if that's what they said, we are banning single-family homes. You can never build your own home again. That would be challenged in the courts, and it would be deemed unconstitutional. However, they're changing the zoning. It's planning. So we're doing this in the best interest of the community and in the best interest of the people. So we want to have this. So eminent domain is a big part of it. There's a gentleman by the name of Tom DeWeese. You've got to go out there. Massive, massive information on sustainability and loss of property rights. And this is why Washington said, and Karen repeated his quote earlier, if you don't have the right to have property, you don't have liberty. You have to have, in order to have liberty, you have to have the right to own property. And it really only makes sense. Communism, everything owned in common. Where do you think communism, the word, comes from? Everything owned in common. What do you think Common Core was? Everything in common. We're going to brainwash the society into believing the inequities. We have to address the inequities. Okay, so now we're all going to live in a 900-square-foot apartment, and that's it. You're not going to have a family, not going to have a single-family home. You're not going to have the right to own a home. We're going to place you where we think you should live. We're going to tell you what your job's going to be, and then we're going to replace you by artificial intelligence, and you're going to be a robot or a bot. A bot will replace you anyway. It's all sick. It's the death of the culture. It's the death of this country. It's the death of humanity, really, when it comes right down to it. So, again, I've been doing all the talking. Anybody who wants to chime in, feel free to. It's 347-857-4364. And just make sure you press 1. If you're out there listening and you want to chime in, make sure you press 1. If I do not see you press the number 1, I believe you're just listening. And that's good, too. Go right ahead. But the thing is, we're destroying ourselves, and we, the people, have to do it. Now just imagine they're taking away your right to own a home. And how they're doing it. You have to totally appreciate how they're doing it. They didn't go in the other way. Planning. Go out there and find out what they have done in your area with zoning. And who's doing it? Who's promoting it? Who's the developers? And I got involved in this when I was in Orange County, and I'm getting involved in it now that I'm here in Jackson County, because I'm going to put something to Governor DeSantis. We want Florida to be the freedom state. We should want Florida to be the American dream state as well, that you have the right to own your own home, that we're going to do things to promote home ownership. That's what we should be doing. We should be lifting people up out of poverty and giving them the right to have a family and to have a home. And there's no reason why it can't happen in this culture. It's only as government, the ABCs, all the different departments and quasi-governmental agencies that are out there, they're the ones destroying our right to be a free society and a wealthy society. They're the ones taking it away from us. And that's why when Trump was in office, it was going the other way. He was deregulating and giving people rights back. And, of course, that's why they couldn't let him get reelected. And you realize how the fact that they had to manipulate the machines at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever it was, they had to manipulate it because they just never thought he would get the votes that he did. He got more votes because people saw what he did. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can be annoyed with Trump about and a lot of things you can not like him. I didn't vote for him the first time. I didn't trust him. I didn't know what kind of a three-ring circus he was going to create.
I didn't vote for Clinton either. I voted for a third party. But when you saw what he actually did, how can you be an American and totally support this invasion going over the southern border? I don't know. How do you think it's helping us? I want any true, I mean, and I've talked to some Democrats. They don't seem to like it either, but yet they're still going to support a Democrat. I don't care what party the person's in. I want to know what they believe in and what they're going to do. Because if people would remember, Trump was a Democrat for many years. He was actually a supporter of universal health care. But that isn't what he did when it came to saving this country. And that's why they had to stop him. And DeSantis does a lot of the same things, but he does it in a little different manner. He's doing very aggressive things to protect our rights. Now, when it comes to the games we're going to play with the election, that's a whole other story. I really wish, and if anybody's out there listening who has any dealings with DeSantis or with Trump, please go out there and convince them. Work together, guys. You will be so strong if you work together. But if you two guys are going to fight each other, you're only hurting the whole country. You're not helping us. And I truly believe that. And I'm telling you, the other governors, we need DeSantis needs to train others on how to be a governor, how to remember what the Constitution is, doing things that preserve the culture of the society instead of allowing a communist takeover. Now, DeSantis, I don't like everything DeSantis has done, especially him supporting that attorney with Dominion and all this other stuff. I don't like, I mean, how many politicians are elected do you like for everything? I think it was Reagan who said, if you agree with them 80% of the time, you're doing good. That's what to expect. You know, if 80% of the time. So I don't agree with either one of them 100% of the time, but they were both leading our country in the right direction. DeSantis was leading our state in the right direction, which is also part of the country, too. And he's helping to get some other people on board to do stuff, too. So we really need these two people to work together. If they go, and now some would say, well, you know, the debate is good. Get DeSantis out there debating, and they have the conversation, whatever. And I would say, in this case, with DeSantis being a governor right now in Florida, no. We need him to stay focused on the state issues, which are very much federal issues. We need him to break the umbilical cord going to the federal government. We are a state. We are a sovereign state. A nation, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We need to take back our state rights. And we need governors like DeSantis to do that. Go out there and pull all of their pension funds out of ESG banks. You have options. The guy's name, cannot remember his name, but he's the one that formed the new financial group, Strike, so that they can... another option for funding fossil fuels and those types of things and getting away from the ESG stuff. So there are other options to invest your money, and it's moving there, which I think I heard over the weekend that gentleman, which I'm sorry I cannot remember his name, is actually thinking about running for office too. Now, if he would run for office as a Republican, it would be a very interesting discussion between Trump and him. And I think the two of them would make an excellent combo, Trump and him as the vice president. So that is where I would say that debate would be excellent. Let's get a person out there who's taken the steps, who understands business, understands the economy, who's taken steps to get rid of ESG and all this communist takeover stuff, who understands how the economy works, how to build it, and is willing and has shown that he can do it. Very much in line with what Trump did on the development side and his business, how he's been a successful business person. So they would make, I think, a very good team, but on the campaign trail, I think it would be a very excellent debate. They would definitely, I think, complement each other in helping to get this country back on track, to help have a nonviolent, a peaceful revolution in taking back this country, if we can manage to keep it from falling before that election, which is what is where we're at right now. Will we have an honest election in 2024? Do I ever expect 100% honesty? Of course not. But there's something seriously wrong when illegals are going to vote in our elections. excuse me, that's just wrong. So the people that we know we're not going to get a whole lot done because of the Senate right now, but we have to get like-minded, and I don't care what party they're in. Just, you know, you can take what it's worth for how the uniparty has come about. We have to get rid of the uniparty, and we have to have a constitutional party. We have to have an America First party. Call it whatever you want to. If you think that's the GOP, well, would you prove the GOP is actually a constitutional party? Could you prove the GOP is an America First party? Because if that's what they would be, that would be fine. I don't know that you can get all the corruption out of there to do that. I don't know. But that's what we need. And we need those people. They have got to sign the dotted line that they are going to push the proper amendments to save this country, the proper amendments to take away the abuse of executive orders which create a dictator. We have to protect the right to own a home. We have to protect the right to have the choice of the vehicle we want. And you know, if they do it right, if this was all handled the way it should be, we would go down the proper path for the right reasons. We have done that all through the history of this country. And once you prove that something is better than the other, you know, build a better mousetrap routine, people go there. When the cost of fuel was high, the efficiency of the motor vehicle got better. You had an option. You could buy a smaller vehicle that was more fuel efficient, but all vehicles became more fuel efficient because that's what the market said to do. This thing with the electric vehicles, you're killing the climate too. Do not buy an electric vehicle because you think you're saving the climate, because you're not. It's a lie. Go look and see what it takes to build an electric vehicle. Go check and see what it costs to buy a battery if it breaks. They're extremely expensive, and they do not allow you to just make a trip across the country without multiple steps in recharging those batteries. You can't do it. If they get to the point, if the technology and it's allowing the free market to really work the way it is, if they could make the electric car where you could drive for 2 days without worrying about it, and it also wasn't destroying the planet, that you weren't creating lithium batteries that destroy the planet, and you weren't abusing the child labor and all these other things that go in. Go look and see what it takes to build an electric vehicle. If you have any sense of humanity, you don't believe in slavery, you don't believe in child abuse, and you want to save the planet, you could never support an electric vehicle. Not at this point in time. But let the free market do what it wants to do. Oh, I see. Well, I knew Nathan was out there listening. I was wondering when he was going to chime in here. But we have to protect our rights. Hey, Nathan, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I was listening to you on your bouncing around with Trump versus DeSantis. Here's what I see going on with that. First of all, we already know that the Republican Party and Democrat Party and their media do not want Trump. So they're the ones that are pitting. Even the regular Democrat media is pitting Trump against DeSantis. And I think the reason DeSantis is being promoted is they know he can be compromised. He's already said something that you cannot say, and the left media let him get away with it. Back in earlier this year or last year, he in Orlando, he made the statement that right in Florida, the Republicans now outnumbered the Democrats. That is a lie. That is a lie across the state and across the counties. The no party affiliates outnumber the Republicans somewhere, and based on whatever county it is, how conservative or liberal it is, it doesn't matter. The Republicans are outnumbered by I think it's like over 150,000 or something in Orange County that the Republicans are behind on the no party affiliate. So he's already playing the game and looking like a rock star and saying stuff that isn't true. You know, I think that they want, if they had a choice, And I think you've seen the something I sent. I responded to, it was all capital letters I responded to, because Mitt Romney's out there, got people, he's got his own media trying to say we need to get rid of Mitt Romney, and you can donate Mitt Romney money to do that. They're playing games. They're playing games. Here's the thing. In 2016, we heard from the Republican, Democrat, and the Christian media on the president, we heard who everybody in those camps wanted for a president, their candidates. And then when it came down to it, none of it was true. The people across all of those were reaching out to Trump. They were supporting Trump. And so they had no choice but to jump on that. And then he had to hold the Republicans hostage by saying, if you don't endorse me, if you don't support me, then I'm going to run as an independent, which he basically held them hostage, because that would let the Democrats and Hillary win. So it's all just, they want anybody. They don't care if it's DeSantis, but they want anybody. But we got to get Trump out of there, which right there tells me he's dangerous for all of them. And, I could not vote for Trump in 16, because Mike Pence, he stands in front of the Bible thumpers bragging about how he believes in life and he's got an abortion policy. But people, you're talking to your heart, not to your brain.
Yeah. Well, this is true. There's no two ways about that. But you know the gentleman that I was talking about with Strike. He's got that new financial group, and getting away from the ESG stuff. I wish I could remember his name. But I don't know if you had heard that he's possibly going to run for president. And I guess he was actually on Glenn Beck either Thursday or Friday of last week. I don't know. I lose track of where I see this stuff. But anyway, someone said right after he was off the interview, he's running. He's running. And I think it would be excellent.
Yeah.
I hope he does run. I really, it's not to challenge Trump in the same way, but it's to have an open dialogue of discussion. And if DeSantis wants to get out there, I think it's going to be even more interesting that way. But DeSantis, and for those who don't know anything about Florida law, a while back, and I believe it was around the Governor Charlie Crist, who was running for the Senate or the President or whatever he was running for. He's running for so many things. He changed his party, whatever he thinks he's going to run and win as. There was a law changed in Florida that if you're the acting governor, you cannot run for the presidency because it's too time-consuming. You can't run a state and run for president. That's all there is to it. And now here in Florida, I don't know if they've done it yet, but they're trying to change the law back to allow him to run for president and still be governor. He can't do both.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Go ahead.
They ran into that with Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio has been in office running for president as a senator, and that was a big thing. I remember Mr. Tolbert wrote the county, the Department of Elections and the president and the governor, and pointed out, gave him a copy of the law and told him that can't happen. And Rubio just recently, right after that, fell out of the presidential debate because of the numbers. And I don't know, Mr. Tolbert seems to think that he had to drop out because he was bringing attention to it. Doesn't matter how it happened. The thing is there's no little rule. You got a rule, they don't live by it. And then when people start screaming about it, then they say, okay, well, we'll change the rule so we can do it. Here's the problem. The reason for the rules or the laws is a lack of order, is chaos, and they get to just do whatever they want to. And, down here, it has an effect at the bottom. You look at traffic. You get into traffic one day and see the way people drive. There is no respect for any kind of laws. There's no respect for the other guy that's doing the speed limit. You just run up on him and start flicking your lights. And, the thing, this stuff gets down to the bottom. when they see the people at the top, you know, don't have to live by the rules. Why do we?
Well, so, it's actually kind of interesting that you mentioned. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to top it off that, I see Ron DeSantis. Everybody's promoting him, and it's hard to back off once you got to get flattered by everybody's calling for me to run. But here's the thing. The Republicans, the Democrats don't want him to run, but yet you hear them saying, yeah, that would be a good, you know, it's no. It's just they're trying to get him out there because they want anybody other than Trump, and they're just trying to get that. Trump's gonna come back, and he's gonna come back, and it's gonna make him mad.
Well, that actually reminds me. I was talking about the oil spill or the derailment up in Ohio, and here they couldn't get FEMA or anybody up there. Biden just totally ignored it. So disgraceful of what they have done after they had that control burn that's probably killing or going to give cancer to a lot of people or whatever up there. But then Trump said something that he's going to go there. And I don't – what is he supposed to be up there tomorrow or Wednesday? He's supposed to be going to Ohio, and then all of a sudden FEMA's going to be there. This just shows you the hypocrisy and the disgust of the people who are in charge today. And once he said that, and see, that's the whole point. Trump is going to get out there. He's going to roll up his sleeves and he's going to do the work. Well, again, there's plenty of things you can be annoyed with the Trump's personality, whatever else. But he seems to be the only one who's willing to take some tough stands on this stuff. And that's I have to think he's still probably the best choice for 2024. This other guy, like I was talking about with Strike, excuse me, he would be an excellent choice too. I think he would be an excellent vice president, and I would love to see the two of them out there on the debate, having a somewhat civil debate, talking about the real issues and what needs to be done and what their different plans are. And I think you would see probably a lot of it stuff, the stuff would align, but the one guy would, I think his demeanor would be a little bit, wouldn't ruffle so many feathers as Trump does. But I believe both very much support America First, and I think that's one of the key things. And I was going to mention one other thing here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing I like about Trump is everybody wants to try to say something and someone else disagrees with them, and they kind of play around with everybody trying to get along. And Trump says what needs to be said, even if it hurts you, you know. And that is, but here you got to remember, Trump is who he is because he's a businessman. He's not a politician. And if a guy doesn't show up to work, gives him a chance. You need to tighten it up and be here on time. And if that continues, then he replaces him. And if he has a hard time with a business deal, he's in the real world. People don't understand that. Yep. And we got politicians up there that are just putting on a show and pretending. Your guest earlier started naming off Republicans that are good, and she said Ted Cruz. I wish she could tell me what Ted Cruz has done that makes him a rock star. I got a folder with a whole list of stuff that he says. He says something, but he votes different. But we say, they're reaching our heart. They're reaching our hearts. And we keep saying it.
Well,
so what we need to do is put real citizens up there that have a consistent resume in whatever it is, whether it's a doctor, nurse, accountant, you know, used car dealership owner. We need to put people that has real life experience up there, and Trump proved that he proved that they're not going to let that happen.
Well,
you know?
And that's so symbolic of the whole thing. And again, what the real intent is here, the intent is to destroy America. Thus, you've got to block anybody who's going to save America. Now, the other thing I want to mention, I'm mentioning while you're still on here, we got about 5 minutes left here. The Nikki Haley, she's announcing, which the fact that she's announcing when she said she wouldn't, all that stuff already tells you a little bit about her ethics and her background. She was another one who left her governorship to run for the other office or whatever else. She's another one who's played a lot of those games. But I've got some information, and I don't know if you've heard any of this. Maybe you can clarify it. or we'll definitely have this up on a discussion, that she's not a natural-born American. And this is going to come up again because of a presidential election. What a natural-born American is, that means both parents are Americans at the time of your birth, which was not the case with Rubio, which was not the case with Cruz, which, who knows, it was not the case with Obama, and all this other stuff. And people, there's a big debate about the natural-born citizenship for the presidency, but my understanding is she is not a natural-born American. Do you know anything on that, or have you heard anything on that?
I've heard talk of it, but I haven't went back and did anything on her. I'm sure some people are out there doing it, and when I run across anything you're doing, I'll send it to you. But here's the thing, is you know, this natural born citizen doesn't work. It's not. I know a guy, you had him on, Douglas C. Gibbs, constitutional teacher. He was putting together a lawsuit that they were going to challenge this thing, and then all of a sudden he got quiet. And the reason is you're just a little noise out here barking, Constitution. And, you know, we got so many people out there that because of what the 14th says, they seem to believe that if you're in America, you're natural born because you were born here. But the thing is, your mama was illegal whenever she came across the border because you would get citizenship, and then your mama and your daddy and all your cousins and uncles and aunts for three generations get to come up here and live and get benefits because you were born here, and according to the way they read and interpret the 14th, they're saying that you're a natural born citizen because you were born here. It's not born here. It's born here of citizen parents.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But you know, all it takes is a judge, and this is where we've lost it. All a judge gets to do, here's the problem that people don't get. Read the Third Amendment on the judges. Not the Third Amendment,
yeah.
The Article 3. Okay, the only thing a judge does is judge. He judges according to the Constitution and the law. He does the same thing he's supposed to do when he's crossing the highway. He only makes a judgment before he steps out to walk across that highway. Make sure there's no cars coming, no buses, trucks or whatever. And then you make a judgment and you walk. If you see something, a law that isn't Constitution, his only duty is to send it back to Congress so they can either repeal, revise it, or enforce it. It is Congress, Article 1, Section 1, only Congress and the Senate is the ones who write the law, and they enforce it. And they enforce it with the laws. And it doesn't become a law because the judge decided, this is what I think y'all need to do. And okay, now it's the law of the land. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
So
we're
in
trouble. Yeah, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. But a good point, what you're saying in reference to Trump, too. So we've got to speak up. I'm calling him. It's we the people, and as you mentioned before, it's the Battle of Athens, the veterans are the ones who got the ballot box back for us. We have to remember it's about we the people. It is not about we the people are the sovereign. We the people, the consent of the governed. They do not have our consent. We have to tell them, we have to not comply with their violations of our rights, and we have to tell them they don't have our consent. We have got to push back on this thing. And with that being said, thank you so much, Nathan. We're going to wrap it up right here. We've got just a minute left. And hopefully everybody learned a lot of information from the discussion with Claire. We're going to get her back on her. She's a wealth of knowledge on this stuff, as is Karen. And we're going to keep teaching people. It's all about sharing the information. As Karen has said many times, knowledge is power, but it's also knowledge is useless if you don't share it. We have to share this information with others. We have to get engaged. The time is now. The time is now. I will close with Washington's quote or his quote here. Excuse me. The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and their farms are to be pillaged and destroyed and themselves consigned to a state wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and the conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us alone the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore no resolve, to resolve to conquer or die. That is where we are at, people. That is where we are at. Please be good to each other. Please get engaged. Please, let's have a peaceful revolution and take our country back. We the people are the sovereign government of this country. Please remember that. Thank you so much. God bless America, and we will talk again next week.